Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now I'm going to read a chapter from the book Maranatha, compiled from the writings of Ellen G. White, entitled The Image to the Beast Set Up. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Revelation 13:17. The image of the beast will be formed before probation closes, for it is to be the great test of the people of God by which their internal destiny will be decided. In Revelation 13, this subject is plainly presented. I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Then the miracle working power is revealed, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause them that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This is the test that the people of God must have before they are sealed. All who prove their loyalty to God by observing his law and refusing to accept a spurious Sabbath will rank under the banner of the Lord God Jehovah, and will receive the seal of the living God. Those who yield the truth of heavenly origin and accept the Sunday Sabbath will receive the mark of the beast. While John was shown that the last great struggles of the church were earthly powers, he also permitted to behold the final victory and deliverance of the faithful. Looking beyond the smoke and the din of the battle, he beheld a company upon Mount Zion with the Lamb, having, instead of the mark of the beast, the Father's name written in their foreheads.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, we're most grateful and thankful today, Father, to be able to speak to your people today. We're most grateful and humble, Father. We ask for double portion, your Holy Spirit, clear minds, and your name be uplifted this day. Be it those that are in radio land, your Spirit will continue to strive with them and work with them, that healings will be upon their lives and the lives of all those, Father, who are maybe struggling this time with different issues, or maybe they may have lost their loved ones, or maybe they may just need a comforting word from you this day. Father, we pray that that be said. And when all is said and done, Father, and the dust is settled, we'll be among those that will be with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon and say a very special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. If you want to contact us, you can contact us at 322-6273 or P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org, where we have articles written by Brother Paul, by Brother Renrick, and also articles on health and some very interesting links that may assist you as you study the scripture. Our topic again this afternoon will be dealing with
church and state.
We will be dealing with church and state. Should we make laws to rule our conscience? These are some of the questions that we will be dealing with this afternoon. We also want to remind you of our live call-in show that will be held on April the 30th at 8 p.m. from 8 to 10 p.m. on April the 30th, where we'll be dealing with the same subject, and that is church and state. Should they unite? Church and state, should they unite? That will be our topic that night, and it will also be our topic leading up to the April 30th live call-in show. Now, before we begin our discussion this afternoon, we're going to ask Brother Paul to give us an insight of some of those things that he has read in the newspapers that will help us understand some of the prophetic things that are happening in our world today. Brother Paul.
Thank you much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Some of the things that came from the headlines this week is the upscale of violence during this election season. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there was ever a time that we see that the times have changed. You know, when it was in the Bahamas, we had violence escalating in the area of our political season. Here we are, you know, just on the beginning of our program here, when we heard that the day was set for the elections, Brother Julian requested the nation would pray for those, for this time of our nation, we'll have another peaceful election like those are in the past. But it appears as if for some reason the Lord is allowing these things to happen as the devil work behind the scenes to try to distort the fact of a peaceful election once again. One of the saddest things coming from the news this week, it came from our sister nation, our family, our friends to the north of us, that's the United States of America, where a young man went on a rampage at one of the local colleges there, and 33 people at the end of it were dead. You know, and today we'd like to send condolences out to our American embassy family who are here, working on behalf of their government to make sure that our government and their government work together in harmony with each other. And also, if the family members may be visiting with the Bahamas, we'd like to send condolences out to you and to all those that are hurting at this time. The Lord will give them the healing that they need at this time. Also coming from the news this week, a group of local pastors petitioned the upcoming candidates in the upcoming election, giving them some questions that they'd like for them to deal with before they know who to vote for, who not to vote for. Two of the things that came from this question that really stand on my mind is, on the sexual offenses question, they asked, am I in favor of returning the age of consent for 18 when it comes to sexual activities there? You know, well, I stand to be corrected, but I thought there's no age consent in the Bible. The age consent is marriage. That's what the Bible says, that you must first be married before you decide that you will get married. And then another thing that's standard, they talk about capital punishment. Am I in favor of amending the Constitution that the Bahamas would make absolutely clear that capital punishment is mandatory for the sentence of murder? You know, well, ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to go that far to bring back the capital punishment, then why don't you just bring back all the capital punishments? How about the one dealing with, if you're caught and committing adultery, you know, the Bible says that two of those people should be killed. How about those that do other things that the Bible says, you also blasphemy. Blaspheming also is an area that you're supposed to be put to death. As a matter of fact, all of the Ten Commandments, any of them that you have broken in the days of old, you could have been put to death for it. So when you think about capital punishment, if you want to bring back one of them, by all means, let's be fair and balanced. Let's bring back all of them. And by all means, one of them that really need to be cared out in this land is families, mothers and fathers who are having kids out of wedlock. Because we know for sure if that one was surpassed, God help us, how many people will be left alive in the Bahamas?
Ladies and gentlemen, like we said before, this afternoon we'll be dealing with the topic, the general topic of church and state today and night. But specifically this afternoon, we'll be dealing with the legislation of morality. And before we begin and we get into some of the questions that I have, I would like for both of our panelists, Brother Paul and Brother Henrik, to explain to us what does it mean to have the morality legislated? What does that mean? What are we telling the people when you want to legislate morality?
In a nutshell, it's saying that the government or a particular, well, no, legislation deals directly with the government. So it's saying that the government tries to control the moral agents of the individuals. And when we say morality, we speak about things like such as the way we worship. It also speaks of religious matters, et cetera, et cetera. And we know from history and from the Bible that, I mean, even though you many have tried, you can't directly legislate what is it. You cannot, sorry, I shouldn't say directly, but you cannot legislate what is in a person's heart and what is in a person's mind. You can put rules around to try and control that, but whatever is in that person's heart or that person's mind is not going to change based upon a particular law that's on the books.
Amen. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I made a statement on our radio program. I said, you know, there's nothing you can do to stop someone from doing what they really want to do. When I used the example, I said, at the end of the day, if I was to get a bazooka and go and shoot down a few people, who's going to be able to stop me? And then tomorrow you would hear on the news that poor man of Turning Point is being charged before the court for, you know, massacring a few people, or maybe hundreds of people. And we have the reality of that just last week in the United States of America, where a young man, I mean, as a matter of fact, the Lord gave them warnings that something was definitely wrong with the young man. But because of the law the America had structured, there was nothing they can do to tap into this young man to stop him from doing what he had to do. And at the end of the day, you know, as he began to sink deeper and deeper in his depression or whatever state he was in, here we are today, we have the reality that, hey, he did exactly what I told you a few weeks ago, that no one can stop you from doing what you want to do when it comes to sin. Even God in heaven, he pleased you not to go forward, but if you decide to tear down all the barriers, sorrow will be the reality that you will do exactly, you know, what he said you will do. The carnal heart, the Bible says, not subject to the law of God, and never indeed can be. And this is why the Apostle Paul said, let this mind be in you and I, which is also in Christ Jesus, because that's the mind that is going to give us entrance into the kingdom of God.
Well, let's take a look at some of these things that might, you know, we look at this topic of legislation of morality and the government having control over what people do and not do. And I think the basic here is, the basis we're dealing with is from the perspective that there is afoot some in our community who want to legislate certain parts of our morality. And so we're going to look, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon at, and maybe it might seem ridiculous in a way, and we are doing it to try to emphasize how crazy it could get out of hand. So please bear with us this afternoon. We're trying to give you an understanding of how we could get out of hand, and anybody who wants to talk about legislating morality, how it could do. My first one here this afternoon by the Paul Madrenrick is, if we want to really legislate morality, let's take a look at removing all pork and pork products from food stores and restaurants, because we know that pork is high in fat and cholesterol and so forth. And even so, the Bible speaks against it in Leviticus and Numbers. Should we do that? What's the danger in doing that?
Reverend, doing the danger in doing that, if you was to legislate that, if you was to take a sign and get a petition going as a members of Turning Point Ministry and decide to go to the government and then hire a lawyer to go ahead and bring it forward, we actually can do that based on the Bible account, historical facts, and also scientific and health factors. Most of all, based on the Word of God. The Word of God should stand by itself, but you know, some people really want to go beyond just hearing the Word of God. And Jesus makes it perfectly clear in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and Leviticus chapter 11, he said, you should not touch the swine. It is unclean to you. He said, you should not even touch the dead carcass. That's Deuteronomy chapter 4, 14 verse 8. So that's how strong God talked about the pork. So if he should go to the government on Monday and say, you know, when a new government is formed, and we say, okay, we want to pass legislation to shut down all food stores, not really shut down all food stores, but shut down all companies from selling pork as a part of their menu, it really can be proven. And I'm sure in the courts of law, it will be held up. But based on our conviction that each man is for himself, and God gives everyone freedom of choice, we will not do that. But if he was to take that course, ladies and gentlemen, it could be done. Based on the Bible, world history, also scientific research, and also doctors even will testify in us in court and say that, yes, these young men are right. Pork should be banned from food stores. But to each his own, because the Bible is quite clear, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
Right, and I think we should add in there that it isn't just a haphazard reason that the Lord said that people shouldn't eat pork. You know, it wasn't just something that he drew a straw and said, okay, I feel like they shouldn't eat pork. But no, but when we look at the nature of the animal itself is really a scavenger. You know, it eats the leftovers and the remains and any filthy thing that it finds on the ground that's consumable, it eats, almost like a rat. And, you know, there are many bacteria that's in the pig's body that is harmful, if not detrimental, to humans and other living things. So, I mean, this is just one of the reasons why the Lord gave those instructions that we should not eat this, eat of this animal, because it's really not healthy for us to eat. And, you know, there's so much research out there on the internet that as individuals, you can go and research and see that over the years, scientists have come into much agreement that, you know, certain types of animals, the pig being one of them, is not very healthy for human consumption.
Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon you might hear us refer to the government from time to time, but I want to say now that let it be known that we are not affiliated with any political or political party, and when we talk about the government, we talk about the government in general. As a matter of fact, based on our study of the scriptures, we at Turning Point believe that we should not even vote. So we have not even registered to vote, and we do not vote. And if you want to find out why, you could give us a call at 322-6273, or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can listen to our live program on April 30th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the same station, and we will explain to you why we choose not to vote. Our next question, Brother Paul and Brother Henry, is concerning cigarettes. I'm sure that everybody agrees, majority of persons would agree, that cigarette is bad for you. Okay, so should we legislate the smoking of cigarettes?
Brother Julian, you know, if you want to, like here again, if you want to take the strong stand like most of our other Christian brothers and petition the governor, trying to get lawyers to go with us to the courts or whatever, to, you know, it is possible. And this is another one that we would win. As a matter of fact, I have a pack of cigarettes in my hand. I would not call the company's name, but this, according to this box that I have, man, this was established in 1890. And at the bottom of the box, it says, the Ministry of Health advised that smoking is dangerous to our health. Now, just that alone should be, you know, instead of let's ban these cigarettes. And I thank God that our now government, you know, well, you know, knows, no, only God knows what the end will be, because he's responsible for rising them up and putting them down. Our doctor, Dr. Nordage, is on the record stating that, you know, he, just before that, you know, they decided to stop doing their business in the House of Assembly, he was thinking about trying to get a law passed that all smoking in public places should be stopped. So here again, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, if you should go to hire a few good lawyers, you know, and go down to the courts and say, if you want these things not only not being smoked in public places, but if you don't want it in the Bahamas at all, here again, this is another case we can win if we decide to legislate morality. And this is why, when you start to talk about legislate morality, this door is so wide, it's very important for us to be careful when we decide to, and it's only heading one place, ladies and gentlemen, and before this program is over, we have the time, we'll tell you where it is all heading. So we're not surprised. As a matter of fact, me and Brother Julian can tell you that when we were little boys, our parents sat us down and tell us exactly where it was heading. And now today, we can see it clearly before our eyes. And Brother Renner, as he, you know, joined up with us in the church just a few years ago, as he began to study, he too was convinced that based on what the church has been teaching through the years, this is exactly where it is heading. It's heading to one thing. And that's the time when church and state is going to come together to enforce laws upon people. And those who do not obey will be killed, according to Revelation chapter 13.
Amen. You know, with regards to certain foods like we mentioned earlier, and even cigarettes, you know, we all believe that the individual should be free to make those decisions themselves, you know, whether or not they wanted to eat certain things, you know. But one thing that we have to bear in mind is that when the Lord gives us instruction that we should abstain from certain things and stay away from certain things, that he's not doing it to keep things to himself or to withhold things from us, because quite the opposite. When we go to the book of James, James chapter 1 and verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And this is telling us in very plain and understandable words that the Lord himself would withhold no good thing from us. Everything that is positive for us, that is beneficial to us, he has put on this earth and pointed us in the direction of those things, and those things that he knows that would be detrimental to us, he has instructed us to stay away from. And this is one of the things that we need to keep in mind as we make our decisions in daily life.
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Renwick and Brother Paul. The other thing, let's take another look at some another very popular food product that we have here in the Bahamas. That's conch and crawfish. Again, the scriptures tells us in Leviticus and in Numbers that the use of these seafoods are prohibited or prohibited to those who are willing and really wanted to follow the way of the Lord. Should we then petition the government to have a ban on conch and crawfish?
Here again, Brother Julian, if you have to put aside our convictions based on the scriptures, that yes, you know, we're going to say, okay, we're going to legislate, we're going to go and legislate morality. This is another case that we can win in the courts of law. Because in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 9, the Bible states clearly, these ye shall eat that are all are in the waters. All that have fins and scales shall ye eat. So the Bible is quite clear, and conch and crawfish does not have fins, neither do they have scales. As a matter of fact, the government is on the record enforcing laws at a certain time where you cannot pull crawfish. But God, a long time ago in the scripture, said there was never a time when you could have pulled them. As a matter of fact, this, whenever you see fishermen selling conch and crawfish, they are breaking the commandment and saying, thou shalt not steal. They are also breaking the commandment and saying, thou shalt have no other God before God. They are also taking on the attitude of Christ in the commandments number 4, where the Bible says it was God who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. And God in his wisdom and his knowledge tell us these things are uneatable. They should not be eaten. And even today, doctors will hear again what's not in the course and let us know that conch and crawfish has high in cholesterol. And there are many people under the sound of our voices today who have high blood pressure. Their doctors are advising them, if you want your cholesterol level to drop, these are two dishes you need to stay away from. Also in the pork area, pork, conch and crawfish are some of these areas they tell them to stay away with. So if you have to put aside our convictions of trying to legislate morality, it is possible for us to go in the court of law today, or tomorrow I should say, on Monday, and we will be able to get a law legislated that conch and crawfish should not be sold by the vendors, neither should you and I be eating it, because the Bible says you should not do it.
Here again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And so many times we don't act in a way that would give glory to God. As a matter of fact, we act in a selfish manner, and we eat out of pleasure and not out of being healthy or out of necessity. But whenever we pick up a plate of food to eat, we need to ask ourselves questions. Is the Lord pleased with this meal? Is this meal something that's going to strengthen my body and make it healthier? Or is it something that's going to weaken me? Is this something that's going to bring sickness and disease upon my body? And is it something that I can have a clear conscience that what I'm doing is glorifying the Lord? Remember that the body that we have, it's like everything else. It's like the money, it's like talent, it's something that's entrusted in our care by the Lord. I mean, we're going to have to give an account for what we've done in this body. So we need to always be careful and ask ourselves those important questions.
Let us take another look at another popular thing here in the Bahamas, and we notice that it's also getting popular in our church also too, and that is the visiting of movie houses or playhouses. Should we ban that? Again, in our study of the scriptures, and we believe that the Bible speaks against us visiting these places of entertainment. What do you say about that, Brother Paul and Brother Renner?
Here again, Brother Julian, if you put aside our convictions based on every man have freedom of choice to decide what he wants to do with his or her life, here again, this is another one we can run the course of. As a matter of fact, there are numbers of doctors who have did studies and did scientific research that what you behold really affects your life. I like to look to Psalms chapter 101. I like to call it God's TV guide. That's Psalms chapter 101. I want you to read the whole chapter. I'll only read one or two verses in your hearing. In verse 3 of Psalms 101, God's TV guide, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will hate the wicked of them that turn aside. It will not cleave unto me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. And we know, ladies and gentlemen, based on what is being shown in the movies today, there are a lot of things that are being shown in the movies that are being played out in reality right before our eyes. And it was ever time that the movie vendors need to be held accountable and need to be on their guard what type of movies they bring to our young people to see and the adults alike. That time is not also good for Cable Bahamas. You know, they're going to give an account. Every movie that, as a matter of fact, there's a young man I know in prison right now. His parents, his family members come to me to get their car fixed. And they told me that before their brother got in trouble, there was a certain type of movie he liked to watch. And that same movie is the same movie, the actions from that movie is what they believe got him in trouble. And they never knew what the impact the movie had upon their brother until he was locked up. And even today, he is still in prison today. Let's pray for this young man that while he sits in the prison in Nassau, that one day he'll come to get to know the Lord. If he has not already done so, that before Jesus Christ should come, he'll make his calling and election sure.
I have another question here. When we look at the commandments, tell us that we should not kill, we should not commit adultery, we should not steal, we should honor our parents, we should not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, we should remember the Sabbath day. What I want to know this afternoon, gentlemen, how is that different from the church now? Because most of those commandments, the law says thou shalt not kill. The law says, in some states in the United States, that you can't even commit adultery. How is that different from us saying, okay, we want to ban homosexuals coming from this island, or we want to enforce Sunday worship, or we want to enforce capital punishment? How is that different?
The problem with that, Brother Jude, when you begin, okay, for example, as a matter of fact, part of the survey that these ministers gave out to wannabe politicians, that was a part of the survey. A part of the survey was to ask them how they feel about same-sex couples coming here to tourism. Here again, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think it's right for us to say that they should not come here. But what I would say is that when they come, their behavior must be that of our Bahama lads. Like, for example, if two men are walking downtown and they're not holding hands, you don't know that they're lovers or whatever. So the restrictions are going to be, yes, you can come here, but when you come, no hugging up, no kissing in the streets. And when you go to your boat or whatever, in your hotel room, that's fine with us. But make sure that your lifestyle is not portrayed in the eyes of our young people to see. Because that's a life, as a matter of fact, and this don't even need to be advertised. They can just come in just like ordinary tourists. They don't need to be publicized that they're coming to the Bahamas for a day or two or for a couple of hours. They just come and they behave themselves. You see two men walking down the road or two ladies walking down the road. You will never know that these people's lifestyle are like that unless you talk to them, unless you see them acting in a behavior that is not acceptable to our eyes and to society. So here again, we need to be careful that you give everyone an opportunity to serve God or do what they want to do in the privacy of their own home, in the privacy of their car, whatever it might be. Because when you decide to start legislation, ladies and gentlemen, this legislation thing go far, far, far. Before you know it, we are right where God said we should not be before it should come.
One of the questions that we would probably want to put back to our pastoral friends that put forward these 12 questions is the scenario that's currently taking place in Cuba. And the religious rights organization persecution.org, what they do, they monitor religious liberty all over the world. And one of the reports that they gave on the country of Cuba is that not only does the Cuban government actively oppose and ban small churches and even house churches, but when religious groups come into the country, all of their materials are seized. And if what they are preaching is not acceptable to the Cuban government, they never get it back, and quite often they can be turned away. And you know, how long did it take the Cuban government to get down this road? I'm sure they didn't automatically start off this way. And our pastoral friends that put forward those 12 questions, is this acceptable? How do they know that them forcing the government or trying to pressure the government to do certain things won't lead eventually to the same things that we see all the places around the world, where people are not truly free, but where the state or religion combined with the state has turned it into a dictatorship, even if it is not openly called that?
What I would like to say just before we go is, and your point is right on, you know, I don't know if people heard the news, but there are three Christian people who are this company in one part of the world. I think it's Turkey, if I'm not mistaken. They were there making Bibles, and they found them with their throat slashed. And they just, because the country that they were in, I think they were forbidden to make these Bibles, and they found them bound up, and sure enough, that their necks were slashed, and the day they are dead. Here again, because when you try to legislate, don't give people freedom of choice. But next week, as we'll continue to go a little bit deeper into the danger of legislative morality, how far can it go? And here again, ladies and gentlemen, we're not in that business. We're in the business of giving every man freedom of choice to do what he wants to do, because we know time is not long.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to speak to the nation and to share from your word and to shine light on the things that are taking place in this world, even as our brothers and sisters are being persecuted. We ask that even though your coming is near, that you would work to keep the peace in this election time in our country, and that our people in the Bahama land may be free. And once again, we thank you and we give you the praise.
Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller. Telephone contact is 322-6273. And our upcoming call-in show is April the 30th from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
And this is Renwick Pope.
And this is Julie Miller. May God richly bless you.